Truth to Power family. Get ready for his bold and authentic opinions, bringing you all the information, entertainment, and conversations you gotta hear. From local issues to trending topics and headline news, you know he is bringing the energy and keeping it real. It is time for Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace on 620 WTMJ Podcast, Spotify and Apple Music, and streaming on YouTube. Now, here is your award-winning host, Kyle Wallace.
Hello and welcome into Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin podcast studio. I am your host of Truth to Power, Kyle Wallace, and I told y'all I was going to be coming at you live, or I guess I'm not live, but I was going to be coming to y'all from a studio, and we finally have the studio up, running, and popping. We are back on YouTube. I had a great opportunity throughout the last month to interview some of the candidates running for the Democratic nomination here in the state of Wisconsin. I talked to Kel DeRoys. I talked to Joel Brennan. I talked to Mandela Barnes in this studio. And now finally I have my first episode of Truth to Power, where we just talking how we usually talk here on Truth to Power. Remember, you can always watch us on YouTube, 620 WTMJ on YouTube. You can stream on Spotify. You can stream on Apple Podcasts. We're also streaming on 620WTMJ.com. Now, for the first show where I'm in the podcast studio, not just doing an interview, I had to be joined by a dear old friend.
Hey.
The one, the only.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Tory Lowe. What's happening,
T-Lowe? Hey, look, it's a powerful thing.
It is.
It is a powerful thing. And like I said, it's business as usual.
It is business as usual. I know you doing your thing. I know you had, you recorded a podcast.
I recorded a podcast, yeah. I'm recording. I'm working on my structure right now.
Yeah, Tory working on the structure, because we're going to be back, because I know everybody's been clamoring and wanting for us to make sure we do our thing. So I said, you
know
what?
Well, like I said, it was inevitable that we were going to make the changes, because that's who we are. And like I said, no matter where, if the True Studio, whether it's the 620 WTMJ Studios, we're always going to bring the same energy to the people, because that's what they know us for. It's bringing that energy that we always like when it comes to the community.
That's exactly what they know us for, and that's exactly what we deliver. T-Lo, so I want to jump right off. I want to get into it. In talking about the election, so the campaign finance report numbers came out for all of the candidates. Tom Tiffany has, he raised $8 million. $6 million of that came from the Wisconsin GOP, so he is their candidate. He has a lot of money on hand. And then you had Mandela Barnes, who has raised like $847,000. You have Francesca Hong, who's also up there around $800,000. Kel DeRoys in the $600,000. Joel Brennan, $600,000 as well. Sarah Rodriguez raised some money, but she doesn't have a lot of cash on hand. So all the numbers came out. And what I love is this, because we had a little controversy that brewed. And as for someone like me, who I'm going to be voting for the Democratic candidate, I don't know who I'm voting for yet. I'm still waiting for things to kind of shake out. I'm happy that this week that the gloves are finally off. Like, they're finally off, T-Lo. And I think it's better late than never that they're finally off. But seeing the people's cash on hand was pretty interesting, because Sarah Rodriguez only has $35,000 on hand. Mm-hmm. And I think what's so interesting is what I want to know from you, T-Lo, is with Sarah Rodriguez only having $35,000 on hand, did David Crowley get snaked, T-Lo? Did he get snaked? Because David dropped out. For those who don't know, you probably know by now, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley announced that he was running for the nomination months ago. And last week, David Crowley dropped out of the race. And when he dropped out of the race, he endorsed Sarah Rodriguez. Now, you fast forward a little over a week, come to find out, David dropped out of the race, and Sarah Rodriguez only has $35,000 on hand. And he was either he had on hand $315,000, he raised $315,000, but he had more money than she had when he dropped out the race. And it seems like he was unaware of the issues that were on the horizon for Sarah Rodriguez. So do you think the black man who ran for governor and David Crowley got snaked by the white woman with the last name Rodriguez, who will be joining Truth to Power coming up next week as well?
Well, I'll say this. There was an article a couple weeks ago that said that, or rumors or things flying around that Sarah Rodriguez had $1 million in ad buys, things like that.
At least $500,000.
So, like I said, this was something that where most candidates, when they read that and they see that they're not the one that the Democratic Party is backing, they, especially those that are part of the party or they've been involved for a while, they know that wherever the money go, that's who that's the one that they want to push. And so I guess David at the time felt like, okay, they're not going to jump behind him, and he was going to endorse Sarah Rodriguez. And when he made that move, I think that if I was David, I would have waited until the general election to try to get behind anybody or endorse.
Yeah.
But right now, it's a mess in the primary. Getting messy. Sarah Rodriguez since have talked about her finances.
They're not good.
She
only has $25,000, $35,000 on hand, and she's in debt.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So now that is all coming out. I think that David has to take a little bit of the responsibility because he didn't have to endorse anyone that quickly after he dropped out. But due to the flow of the Democratic Party, wherever the dollars go, that's where the energy flows. So I think that he called that one too early. But I do blame Sarah Rodriguez for not informing him on her campaign situation.
Man, they be snaking each other. Here's my thing. In my perspective, I'm glad David dropped out because David, what he showed us was he was not ready to be a leader on that level. And I say that by saying this is because a person who truly understands how to evaluate people, read people, and have their own conviction, you not dropping out and endorsing somebody right away. Like, you got duped, you got tricked. And to me, that's poor leadership. I don't want my leader to be somebody that can be easily tricked into endorsing Sarah Rodriguez because they don't feel like they have power. They don't feel like they have control.
I think Sarah Rodriguez could have been quiet and not as boisterous on her campaign finances until the reports. It was time for the reports.
Well, she had to get ahead of it.
And she tried to get ahead of it. And what I'm saying is, with the way that it was going, because I made a post on my Facebook.
What'd you say?
I said, Sarah Rodriguez's campaign crashed so fast.
Yeah.
But it was all good just a week ago.
It was all
just
good.
Just last week, just like, you know, not even 8 days ago, she was like a popular idea for the front runner for the Democrats.
She was the front runner. That's why David endorsed her.
You know, what a difference a couple days
made. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I say I don't feel bad for David because as a leader, you're supposed to have some foresight, right? You're supposed to be able to evaluate different things. And it shows me that he wasn't fit for the role to be the leader of the state of Wisconsin. It was going to be too big of shoes for him to be able to fill. And David was one of the candidates that I originally was interested in finding more information out about. He never wanted to join my show. They didn't decline. They told me they're going to join, but they didn't join. But I see why now, because they dropped out of the race. But I just feel like it is telling when you don't back the horse that got all their stuff together. Sarah Rodriguez does not have all her stuff together, and Sarah may not even make it to the August 11th primary.
Well, I'll say this. Sarah has some problems.
Huge problems.
And I think she went live asking for donations as well. Like,
yeah, she needs money.
It seems like when you start peeling the layers back, the Democratic Party is giving what you call drama. There's a lot of drama going on right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are tuned in to the drama to see who's going to come out of that drama, who's going to be back, who's going to emerge. And right now they're saying that even names like Mandela Barnes may be entering into the front of this commotion because he's the kind of go-to.
But he's not the
candidate.
He's the go-to candidate for name recognition, right? Story. But across the state, I mean, across the Democratic Party is. I talked to Mandela about this, and the Democratic Party clearly is anti-Mandela. The establishment, right, at this point, he was the establishment darling
right.
when he ran against Ron Johnson, but now they have soured on him because they did the straw poll, and they had Sarah Rodriguez. People still talking about Sarah. And now I think the shift will go to Kelder Royce before it go to Mandela.
Well,
Barnes.
I'll say Kelder Royce right now is looking very strong. She's an attorney.
She
has good ties in Madison.
She does.
She has some connections to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's trying to build her connections in Milwaukee.
She is.
But at the same time, she's starting to look like the better candidate and starting to emerge as a potential frontrunner.
You know, Tori, I want to ask you about some of these candidates as well as we talk about this, their own truth to power, is that one thing I will say about Kelder Royce is that Kel DeRoy speaks with confidence and conviction. Francesca Hong, she knows who she is. That's the one thing that you have to do in this race is you got to speak with conviction. You got to speak like, hey, I have confidence. And I feel like some of the candidates lack that, right? Like, you don't need to be the loudest in the room, but you need to be the one that speaks with the most conviction. Francesca Hong, she talks about things that people like, but also she has a great way to be very conversational. If you listen to Kel DeRoy's talk, she's very intelligent. She's an attorney, as you talked about, but she also has been in this political space for so long, and she's actually done stuff.
Right.
A lot of the other candidates who are in the race who have been in politics, actual elected officials, they can't hold a candle to what what Kel DeRoy has actually done. Because that's the big difference. And when you actually do stuff, like, people go like Francesca Hong all they want, but her track record of actually getting stuff done is light. Kelda is in a different space. But I do want to ask T-Lo, we having this conversation today, is when we think about all the candidates, Tom Tiffany, Mandela Barnes, Kel DeRoy, Joel Brennan, and Sarah Rodriguez, as an independent, do any of these candidates stand out to you?
No. I mean, Kelda is the one that I feel that stands out to me. To her background, due to her political background, due to her law background, when you start breaking it down to these other candidates, you start to see holes. A lot of people have starting to attack. Like you said, the gloves have came off.
Financial
ideas are starting to come into play. Life management ideas are starting to come into play because, like I said,
what do you mean by life management?
You know, people, rumors, things. I heard all the rumors. Me and you both heard all the rumors. I'm not going to be the one to say it on the podcast, but
I ain't doing that. I ain't going to make nobody
but,
mad.
That is out there. We don't even have to say it, but we already know.
I don't know.
But at the end of the day, those are the ideas that are out there.
Where somebody putting a, whatever.
Right.
Whatever somebody relaxing.
Wherever they setting up their 10.
Yeah, wherever setting up their 10. None of my business.
But at the end of the day, these are the things that come out. And this is where it gets messy. Because now, who's going to make it through? When the gloves come off and it get messy, what Democratic candidate is going
to
emerge?
I can't wait to that debate, because hopefully that debate, they go at each other. Because I talked to the three candidates, Mandela Barnes, Kel DeRoy, and Joel Brennan. I said, man, y'all been too nice. Y'all need to bring the gloves off, and 2 weeks later, I'm glad the gloves are off. Francesca Hong supposed to be joining me. We'll see. I'm looking to get that confirmed, and again, Sarah Rodriguez is next week. So when Francesca, that's the one I want to talk about, because Francesca, she's the one that very populist. When I say populist, she reminds me of Donald Trump in a sense of, when I say this, they're completely different. But in Mamdani is that they know how to talk to people and talk about issues that actually resonate with people.
Well, she's definitely has great talking points. And I think talking points will get you a long way.
I think she believes what she said.
Right, but what I'm saying is then people start peeling back, okay, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And I say it all the time. I hate when people talk a lot and then I can't go and see the fruits of their labor.
Mm.
And so when I start looking at fruit, then that narrows down the field.
So what?
It starts to narrow down the field.
Do you
I don't
want to
be a person that always get hyped up off of the big Martin Luther King speeches.
Yeah.
I want the work to be done. And I try to tell people all the time, if you just muted somebody and looked at their actions, it'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah. So with Francesca Hong, is that somebody like as an independent, are you evaluating like her at all, or is she completely turned you off with some of the stuff?
I love a lot of her energy.
Yeah.
I love the way she is connective with a lot of the language and a lot of the things she's talking about.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when you start to try to peel back the layers and see where's the actual active ideas that kind of translate into the job of actually being governor,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering where that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you name something that she has done
to be complete?
What law or what efforts that you could name than anything that
to
she
be
said
on,
so far?
To be honest, the thing about it for me is she came out the blue. Like I remember when she got elected in like 2021, I think it was, or 22. So I remember she first got elected, but she wasn't. I don't remember her being a huge mover and shaker.
Right.
And I think she is very authentic.
Right.
I think she is well doing. But I don't believe that.
But that, does that translate into service?
You know, Mandela Barnes, when he joined me, he made a comment about people can talk about data centers and want to have moratoriums, but he said, where are the bills at? He said, I haven't seen any bill get pushed forward with the moratoriums. Now, I know there's been maybe conversations behind the scenes, but I think that's a good point, is that people can raise paddles and people can say what they want to say, but until, where are the results? And that's one of the things.
You know, I mean, I'm always going to look for the results. I mean, I wish I could just mute everybody and just look at the fruits of their labor. So when you start doing that as a person that wants outcomes, the field is not that big, you know.
No, it's not.
And even on the Republican side, like,
no, it's just Tom by himself over there.
You know, like I said, he's just floating solo.
He is.
But at the same time, over on the Democratic side, you got all these people with great ideas.
But like,
but when I talk about pushing the needle, making real change, the only person that I feel that could actually push the needle in a way where I feel like she could probably do something is Kel DeRoyce.
Yeah, you know what bothers me, Tori?
That's all I'm going to say about that.
No, you know what bothers me the most about all this is that when it comes to elections, I'm big on who is the person with the most experience, who is the person who has the ability to be able to look at issues and actually know what real solutions are, the people that say, you know what, I've seen this before, I'm going to recall that, or person who has relationships, and somebody who can be bipartisan. Because when you look at the state of Wisconsin, it ain't all blue, it ain't all red. So it's like, you're going to have to work across the aisle. So what I hate is when the people with the most experience aren't the ones that are winning. Like, it's a popularity contest. And again, this ain't no knock on Francesca. Again, I think she is, I've spoken to her in person. She is very authentic and she has some great ideas. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, if we realistic, a lot of stuff ain't gonna get done here in the state of Wisconsin.
No,
it's just not. And so what I find is crazy is that when it be in a popularity contest, everybody's talking about, oh, we want this, we love those ideas, great. But when she can't implement them, don't sit here and point the finger and say, oh, well, there's obstruction from the Republicans. You knew the Republicans were going to obstruct, or you knew the Democrats were going to obstruct, because that is what you see in politics. So I hate when people say, oh, well, we couldn't get this done because of that. Duh. You knew that. So when you got elected, it should have been talking about how we can bring people together versus how I want to just do what I want to do.
I agree.
Like, okay, we want to legalize marijuana. Bro, you know, again, Mandela, nice dude. And I enjoyed my conversation with him. I talked to him about this. How you going to get this done? He was talking about legalizing marijuana when he ran for lieutenant governor back in 2018.
And this is what I'm saying. They have done studies. What do, you know, we can say talking points that can get the people to sway in our favor?
That's what
I
hate.
This is where I say that the marketing and the PR has not done anything for Wisconsinites.
Mm-hmm.
What we want is outcomes, tangible outcomes, so we can raise our families in the state that we love and be proud of our votes. And I think that if you say, have you been proud of your votes for the last 5 or 6 years, a lot of people would have a different conversation when they thought, okay, this candidate was able to do this and that. And now they're just like, okay, what candidate is going to come through and actually put up real numbers, real ideas, real results? And that's a tough one there.
Yeah, no, that is a tough one. So we going to see, but I say this, Sarah Rodriguez, I think she's cooked.
Crash and burn. Let me tell you something. Not cooked. I think this is going to go down in Wisconsin political history as the biggest fall off
in
political, at least in recent modern times.
She was the front runner. And so we shall see. And I mean, if hopefully I still have her on next week. If I don't have her on next week, it's more than likely because something, you know, she might have dropped out the race.
Oh, she's still in a campaign in a week.
I don't know much about her, and I was looking forward to introducing her because I'm using this podcast as a way to really introduce folks to these candidates and give them an opportunity to use the platform. Like, I saw Mandela. He took one of the clips from our interview, and he posted it on his social media for his campaign, which it is what it is. I love that, and I loved our conversation, so shout out to him for that. I'm on TikTok. I posted a video of our conversation with Mandela Barnes on TikTok. Kel DeRoyce has shared some of my stuff. Joe Brennan has shared some of my stuff. Like, that's good. Like, they're very informative conversations, so I look forward to talking to Sarah Rodriguez. Now, again, this is Truth to Power here on 620 WTMJ on YouTube. I'm joined by the great Tori Lowe. You can see Tori Lowe. He is a news reporter for 620 WTMJ. And as Tori does, he only been there for like a month and a half, and already his news stories that he has are like the top news stories getting clicked at 620WTMJ.com because he's bringing the raw, authentic, real stories from our community to the platform and telling people stories. So I can't wait till you actually get your podcast up and going.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. We just going to take our time making sure we build something at 620WTMJ to push the community into the future And it's a blessing to have teammates, wonderful teammates at GKB. And we all work together like family. So I'm looking forward to what we're able to do moving forward in the future.
I can't wait. But, Tori, next thing I want to talk about is Milwaukee mask mandates, because the deadline for the United States federal government with the mask mandate, they said that basically this is unconstitutional. So, Tori, the city of Milwaukee mask ordinance for ICE, it really grinds my gears. Like, I'm not for ICE, all right? But I'm also not for nonsense. And now you have an ordinance that was passed in April which banned all local, state, and federal law enforcement from wearing masks with some exceptions. And so when I heard this back in April, when I still had the show, I said, this is the dumbest stuff I heard. I said, y'all so freaking stupid. It's dumb. It's a waste of time. And it's a whole bunch of virtue signaling, because like I said from day one, who gonna stop ICE wearing a mask?
I've had some history with ICE, you know. And I was in Minnesota, you know. And
oh, really?
Yeah, when I was in Minnesota, I was working at a packing house, and I had no clue about what ICE even was. And so one night I was at the packing house and I was working, and some of the Hispanic employees started saying that OSHA and ICE is coming, and they cleared out. So the next day I came to work, it was empty. So I was like, where everybody at? And that's when my first introduction to ICE and immigration and illegals and things like that. So to make a long story short, I ended up coming back home from learning that and understanding about how important it is to have your paperwork. How are you in a country without documentation? Because anything can happen. It's a very gray area. And so when you talk about people coming into this country without documentation and then also getting benefits, I wonder who signed off on those benefits because I didn't see anything on C-SPAN or I didn't see any conversation like that. So, as a black man in America and fighting for the black community, we always have to have meetings and they have to schedule things and they got to have what you call brainstorming meetings. I didn't see the brainstorming meetings for any of those benefits. So I think that I'm kind of in a way in a space where I just want people to be over here safe with their registration, with things documented. I'm not against what ICE is trying to do.
My thing is, I'm not against ICE because I think being against immigration, custom, and enforcement is stupid. Like that. That's just how I feel. Am I against some of the tactics and people dying? Obviously, yes, I am.
But
and
a lot of those tactics we have experienced in our community as well. I can empathize with what we're seeing on TV because we have dealt with those exact same tactics from law enforcement in our community. So
Tori, what frustrates me is that you just talked about we have dealt with those tactics. And so as the Milwaukee Common Council back in April, they made a decision to combat what ICE was doing. They were going to say, you can't wear a mask. It was a whole big thing because, matter of fact, remember Zama Perea, I might have said her name wrong, the Common Council woman, the Common Council member, black man who—
Mark Chambers.
Mark Chambers. They got it. They weren't going to go to blow, but they getting mad at each other over this whole mask thing. He was mad that he wasn't on the bill or whatever it is. But my whole thing is this. I always thought it was stupid, is that if you want to actually protect people from ICE— a damn mask mandate that they can't wear a mask ain't going to get the damn job
done. Even if the camera did get their face, it's the government.
Thank you. What you going
to
do?
Look what happened to Hannah Dugan.
Exactly.
Hold on. Let me tell people. I tell people. Look what they did to a judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a judge that had lost her career.
Yeah.
Messing with ICE. Stay at home. Leave that stuff alone because at the end of the day, that is a gray area, and a federal attorney costs a lot of money. So I told people, like, hey, look, I'm not saying just, you know, allow people to be violated, but if you're undocumented, do you have the human and civil rights ideas in your corner?
And that's the thing. Yes, to keep it in your corner. So a better idea that would have been better for people to be able to publicize, and they may have been able, part of that package and the deal that they made, maybe part of the ordinance it was to provide them with some type of pro bono assistance. But instead of focusing on, we want a virtue signal and not have ICE wear masks, maybe it should have been, listen, when ICE comes to town, this is the plan. Hey, let's work with Chief Jeffrey Norman, or let's work with Deputy, Sheriff Danita Ball to say, say, hey, if ICE comes in town, what are you all going to do to ensure that they're not wreaking havoc in our communities? But a damn mask mandate ain't going to get that done. Or maybe let's say, hey, if people are going to get in ICE detention like the gentleman ended up getting in ICE detention who was a Muslim gentleman for months. Hey, are there attorneys that we can work with that could potentially help folks? What is the plan of action to actually protect people? Because having their face uncovered ain't going to do nothing for none of the folks that got arrested
ACLU a couple years ago had a lawsuit against the Milwaukee Police Department for stop and frisk.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually won, you know, the judgment. And like I said, we have issues with the local police department that we're still trying to resolve or still trying to reach certain consent decree things that we are still trying to make sure that are implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're talking about the federal government with ICE and what they're doing to people that are allegedly undocumented or they're taking people out of their homes and families and things like that. Well, let's not forget that Milwaukee has a mass incarceration one of the most massively incarceration rated populations in the country. So we have a lot of different moving parts going, but yet we're passing laws for the undocumented to have a life or have privileges. So, but yet the people, the regular citizens of the city of Milwaukee, especially on the north side, are still suffering from laws that need to be passed.
So
it's just a huge. What do you do?
Because the problem is that they can do a whole lot of they can have a lot of virtue signaling. They can have a whole lot of like things that they're trying to push. But I'm trying to understand is when you talk about that, there are more African Americans in the city of Milwaukee than undocumented individuals. And I'm not saying these older folks because they are the older folks are working to try to help Black people. But it's just
I like how you tried to round that out.
Well, it's just interesting to me that these big ass ordeals and they make a big much ado about this ICE thing. But what about like things in our community? Like there was like that's my frustration is that I feel like they just jump on. We got bigger fish to fry here in Milwaukee than worrying about people wearing masks.
I always tell people so many people get high blood pressure from undocumented people coming into cities and the government trying to fulfill a mandate that, and this is what the president ran on. Kind of scale back on the illegals that's coming into this country.
He's
starting to fulfill that. And yeah, you're going to get videos, disturbing videos of people being uprooted.
Yeah.
It's disturbing videos from the north side that I see on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So when you talk about moving the needle and people passing policies, I think they pass, like you said, policies that are Band-Aid ideas or virtue signaling ideas instead of getting to the grassroots of, hey, why don't we put up something that can be, say, okay, this can't happen. Can't happen. Let's work with the law enforcement to say, okay, this is the line. This is the line that you can't cross.
T-Lo,
and I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen either. And T-Lo, we'll wrap up Truth to Power here, and this is great. How has the Common Council impacted Black people positively so far in 2026? Can you name anything?
Well, you know, all I'm going to say is this. We still talking about potholes. We haven't got, okay, all these people got high blood pressure running around here talking about this and that about politics, but yet your car getting towed by running over a crater in the street. Mm-hmm. So we can't even get the craters up off the street. And so all I'm going to tell you is this. Let's take it one step at a time. Let's make sure that we're actually doing things that benefit the people when we talk about passing laws, when we talk about changing our society, because right now, I can't say what they're doing because we're still talking about the potholes. The Brewers have even donated money because it's so bad for the fans to come and see
the game.
And they hitting potholes and tearing up their vehicles. So we can't even get to the actual meat because we hanging around the bin.
You know, it's crazy to stay with what Milwaukee is in. And I just wish we could look at some tangible things. And again, there are things people are doing. Don't get it twisted. There's a lot of things, housing and different things like that. But when I think about overall the project at Midtown And the project at Midtown, everybody talked about the data center, which mm-hmm. Computer, whatever it was, right? They got it pulled out. Now, to me, it wasn't, not my community, so whatever the community wants, I didn't like the fact I saw a lot of white folks there, but whatever the community wants, do what they want. But I think the community, instead of being mad about a data center, y'all should have been mad about the fact that all they're doing is putting a damn library there. Mm-hmm. All they're doing is building more affordable housing, which is great, and they're also building a storage facility. Where are the damn jobs at? That's what y'all should be mad about. Y'all mad about data center, but y'all not up in arms about this not bringing jobs. So all the folks that wanted to show up and yell and scream about the data center, where are y'all saying, where are the jobs at? Because last time I checked, Tori, I don't know how many jobs a damn storage facility going to have. I don't know how many jobs. You think they hiring 100 people to work at a library? How many jobs they going to have at the affordable housing? Like, that's what we need. Yes, we need more affordable housing. Yes, we want great libraries in our community. But
we already have those things exactly at the Midtown Center.
Exactly. They exist. And so where are the jobs that they're actually going to bring people out of poverty? That is my issue, is that we get mad about the cool thing like the data center. That's the topic of 2026, is talking about data centers. But damn it, where the damn jobs at?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I got my own theory of the whole thing because I investigated this.
So what's your theory?
I won't say it out loud because I'm a reporter now. I don't want to say it out loud.
So you got some stories. You work in a store.
When I was on my show, I could say what I was just holding back. Yeah. I could have said that on the radio.
Well, listen.
But now that I'm a reporter, only thing I'll say is this. There's strategies, and sometimes people are playing checkers while certain people are playing chess.
Mm.
And this is what I saw. It was the people were actually playing checkers, and the people development and those ideas were actually playing chess, and they ultimately got what they ultimately wanted.
Mm, the storage facility that they pushed for years ago.
These are games that we got to understand. When you understand levels and different tiers. I play chess all the time. I deal with a lot of high-level ideas. But when I looked at it, I knew exactly what it was.
Hell yeah, because the storage facility was the argument a couple years
but
ago.
But like I said,
but you got to bring in the Trojan horse.
It was genius.
It was genius because, you know what, at the end of the day, you got what you always wanted.
It was genius. I saw the play, and like I said, you know, when you understand, when you get out your feelings, get out the emotions, and you see the game that's actually being played on the chessboard, when you play chess, checkmate.
Checkmate. T-Lo, I appreciate you joining me today. Know who that is. That's Tori Lowe. This has been Truth to Power. We back. We on YouTube. We going to be dropping every single Tuesday and Friday. We will be dropping new episodes. I'm so excited that my boy Tori Lowe came and joined me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. You can always watch all of your favorite Truth to Power shows on 620WTMJ.com. On YouTube, you can also go to 620WTMJ.com and stream us. You can Google Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace. You can find us on Spotify. Also, make sure you go to 620WTMJ.com. Be able so you can see all of Tori Lowe's great stories as well. Keep an eye out because the Tori Lowe Show podcast is coming very soon. But another powerful show.
Powerful.
And we'll be back. But I appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all next week.